The Exchange on KUCB. I'm Annie Ropeek. Today, Unalaskans know their community is on the verge of change. As oil development ramps up in the Arctic and shipping traffic increases through the Aleutians, this community will see major developments too. That's something the city has been trying to plan for a very long time, and now they're getting close to an important piece of the puzzle. That's a new comprehensive study on what kind of development should take place in different parts of town to support corporate development, but also to shape the way the community changes and the way residents want to see. So along the way to that, we're also seeing smaller changes, including some that are the subject of a public hearing tomorrow at City Hall. And so joining me today to talk about all that is City Planning Director Aaron Reinders. Aaron, thanks so much for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
So listeners, we can take your calls during this portion of our program at 581-2161, and you can send us an email at news@kucb.org, or send us your questions, thoughts, and comments on our Facebook page and on Twitter at KUCB News. So, Aaron, first I just want to get a sense of kind of the history of this land use study project. I know we've been trying to make this happen for a very long time, so tell me kind of how we got to this point and where we're at right now.
So it's been we've been trying to work on it for really the last couple of years. And so really, the community already has what's a comprehensive plan, which is a really important component in planning. But we're kind of missing a key part of that, which is land use plan, which really targets what certain properties, what land should be used for, and really getting that public feedback of what people want their community to be like.
Okay.
So a few years back, we were doing some rezonings, and ideally, we would have a lot of these difficult conversations of what you want to see, what folks really want to see properties being used for early. You know, before any one particular development is being considered, we really kind of want to have that high-level discussion.
It's more of the type of use as opposed to a specific company or something
like
that.
Okay. I think it tends to be much less emotional that way, and people can kind of just stay a little bit more relaxed, and it's just it's a better conversation and a better time to have that conversation. So the American Planning Association has this really cool program for communities and that are trying to do some unique planning projects. Where you actually apply, where the community applies for assistance, and then they will put together a team to actually provide that assistance for you. And you know, so you kind of have to spell out what you're really wanting, the professional advice that you really need to pull in, why your community is unique, and what your project really is. So we had put that whole application together, and we had to get some stakeholder letters of support, and the CVB really helped out quite a bit with that, and OC provided a letter of support with it. We also had to demonstrate that we'd be able to get public input, because that's the part that we were asking assistance with, to really just do the public input of, you know, where do you see what types of houses should go where, and what sort of commercial uses should go where, and what are those special places that we don't really want to see anything done. I mean, that's just as important to have that discussion. So we mentioned KUCB and helping to get the word out there. So it took some time for that review to happen on APAs and to really get the team that we needed to be formed. And then I think there's been some transportation issues with getting all that whole group that whole group together. So honestly, it's been a long time to finally get to this point. You know, so at this point, we're looking at a team coming out probably May 19th through May 23rd. And that will be a solid week of a lot of public outreach. So we'll be setting up interviews with folks. We'll be setting up public meetings. I'd like to do a little road show where we just kind of set up camp at Safeway and just kind of have some maps up and be like, hey, what do you think, you know? So then they'll kind of take that and put together kind of a synopsis of what folks had said. We also did ask for some people to be on that team that kind of knew something about oil and gas and what sort of support industries are involved with all of that. So what are we looking at, and how can we best prepare for that?
Yeah, so I'm curious kind of what the balance is between just general community planning, you know, kind of what direction people want their community to go in, versus really focusing on oil and gas development as, you know, theoretically the future of this community. Yeah. So kind of what's the proportion there in the proposal that you sent to them?
The proposal, it's mainly just on how to get, it's kind of half and half. You know, I mean, I think the most of what that team will be doing is getting the feedback from our community of, you know, what, providing that voice and kind of getting that feedback and sharing with, you know, what they've heard. But we also need some professional advice from them as far as, and I think they'll be sharing that with the community of what are those support industries that we're looking for, which will then allow the community as a whole to start saying, okay, now that we have a better understanding for that, where do we want to see those things go?
Physically, where do you want to locate them?
Yeah, where do you want to? Yeah.
Interesting. So, I mean, there's a heading in the land use proposal that says unique Unalaska, and that's where you sort of talk about the position we're in as far as this Arctic oil development goes, and also, you know, kind of the nature of this community. So I'm curious why a study like this is important for a community like ours.
Well, I think if we don't tell people what we want to see in our community, they'll decide for us, you know, and we this is all of our community, and we all need to be given a voice and have that laid out for everybody to work off of. So, I mean, you know, if somebody's going to decide where stuff is going to go, I think that voice needs to be given in the community itself rather than somebody coming in. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
You know, you just help tell them where to go. Yeah.
So when you say community input, I'm assuming that's from residents mainly. How are you going to be soliciting that kind of input?
That will be a kind of a joint effort, and we'll try to do it in a bunch of different ways because I think everybody communicates differently. And, you know, I'm a very visual person, so I like to see maps, you know, and other people really like to see the survey and kind of do that quietly in their own home. Other people like to come out to meetings and you know, hear a presentation or, you know, talk one-on-one. So I think it's important that we do a little bit of all of that to really get the broadest amount of input as possible.
Mm-hmm. And you're looking at the different sort of neighborhoods of the city, I guess, mm-hmm. and I'm curious what you expect to hear from different parts of the city. I don't know, maybe it's too early to say, but say downtown Unalaska versus mm-hmm. Dutch Harbor versus, you know, the Spit. I don't know what kind of different ways you're looking at these different areas.
Yeah, I think we'll probably we'll have some things to start off with for people to look at. And obviously this will be a collaborative effort between the team that comes out. But some of my thoughts and, you know, and what I've done in the past is kind of show what we think our existing conditions are, you know, what properties are already being used for. And then get some feedback from everybody to be like, are we right with this? You know, I mean, or are things being used differently that, you know, we just didn't know about? So kind of first things first, start off with where we're at right now. And then, you know, what our zoning map currently looks like, you know, so if somebody wanted to do something, where would they go already? And then kind of have that map of, you know, okay, scratch all of that in your ideal world, where would this stuff be?
Okay. So we have a great question from a listener, actually. As far as utilities go, mm-hmm. does this plan include infrastructure for that and also funding for ways to set that up?
No, but this would be kind of an important first step for planning for all those utilities, because I think if you want to get ahead of the curve and start planning for utility improvement, you need to know what sorts of land uses are going where, and then how intense those uses are, and then you can work on where those utilities are going and the size of those utilities and the type of those utilities. Yeah, that would be in the future.
Right. So is this something that sort of is citywide as far as different departments go? I mean, they talk a lot at City Council about mm-hmm. planning for new utilities. They're, you know, working on a lot of power projects there, things like that. And this all seems pretty linked to me. So I'm wondering how everyone is sort of involved in this process.
We'll certainly have to include everybody. You know, I mean, obviously planning and the planning department will be taking the lead on this planning document. But it really is a high level. And we certainly will be consulting with all the utility folks and everything, because I think it's important to know where those utilities already are. So that we know how logical it actually is to have certain things go in other places based on the utility capacity at this point and what they're thinking already.
Yeah. Okay. So, well, let's talk about some of the big, you know, specific development issues you're hoping to cover in this study. The first one would be housing.
Yeah.
The lack of different types of housing that would be short-term, long-term, kind of midterm. So, what's the outlook on how that's going to change here in coming years?
So I think right now we have an actual special housing plan, which is a component to our comprehensive plan. And those things were adopted in 2011. So I think that this land use plan would be kind of the next step to that and kind of drill down further into what sorts of housing. Because there's different types, right? Like there's single family, detached, residential, which is mm-hmm. more your valley stuff. And then you have, you know, your apartments or duplexes or anything like that. So, I mean, I think this would provide that conversation of where do you really want to see your more dense development go, and, you know, where do you want to see your, you know, more larger lot, single family development go. So that would be one thing of just, yeah, because to be clear, this would just be, this is a land use discussion, you know, so I mean, it's we're not regulating anything. It's just, you know, where do we want to see these things go? So that would be for the housing component. Then we'd also have a discussion of, you know, for commercial and industrial uses, because our comprehensive plan talks a lot about diversifying the economy. also providing neighborhood services for its year-round residents. Mm-hmm. But it gives little guidance as to where those things should be, which is kind of hard when you're talking about rezoning properties or conditional uses. It's hard to make those recommendations, you know, and have a really good pulse for what the community has said it wants. So that'll clear this up through this process.
Hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. It seems like you're sort of taking a lot of the city's really big picture goals and just kind of giving them potential places
right,
to live.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. So, you said that there's corporate housing involved in that. Again, I'm curious about the balance between how much this is looking at year-round residential housing versus, you know, man camps and things of that nature.
I think, yeah, and that'll be another part of the conversation, too, you know, of where the best spot for those man camps mm-hmm. would be, you know, and that's actually a part of our Title VIII changes that were coming up right. now. And kind of through a lot of dialogue, an important dialogue work, the latest proposal for that would be to have man camps and construction camps really allowed for in the industrial zone districts, and then maybe as a conditional use in general commercial districts. So that's what we're thinking about at this point with the Title VIII changes, but that's exactly something that would come out of the discussion in the land use planning, you know, if those zoning districts still do make sense, or if they want to, you know, kind of drill down a little bit further and identify more specific locations of where those would people think that those should be.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll keep talking about some other parts of this land use study. And we want to remind folks that they can call in if they have thoughts about where they would like to see different kinds of development in the community, things like that, questions for Aaron. Give us a call at 581-261, and we will talk about it. We'll be right back with The Exchange. We are back with The Exchange. My guest today is City Planning Director Aaron Reinders, and we're talking about the upcoming land use study for the City of Unalaska and also some forthcoming Title VIII changes that are going to be the topic of a public hearing tomorrow at City Hall. So if you have questions for Aaron, you can call us at 581-2161. Lauren Rosenthal is taking your questions, and she'll pass them along to me. And you can also send us an email, news@kucba.org, or get in touch on social media. So Aaron, we were just talking about this study focusing on housing development, and I'm also curious about some of the things it addresses about tidelands leases, in particular saying that the city is going to be asking for more state tidelands to kind of control for local development. So tell me about that.
So relatively recently, the planning department put together an application for additional state tidelands. Right now, they're under state's control, and we're asking that the city acquire them. So that required action by the city council, and that was approved. And it was the Captain's Bay area by OSI. So that has been submitted to the state, and we're kind of in the back and forth stage of, you know, what they need and when they need it. So we might be coming back to council again. I think it needs to be more directly, we need to have it zoned prior to actually acquiring it. So, I mean, there's just some details that we're working out.
So the state needs to know kind of what you want to do with
exactly,
it before they'll give it to
exactly.
you.
Mm-hmm. And we really have refined the area. I think a year or so back, we asked for kind of we took the broad brush approach and trying to really get ahead of this whole thing, which didn't work out so well.
Right.
The state was like, no, it really needs to be directly related to a particular development. So this one was really refined. You know, some of OSI's improvements were already kind of peeking out there a little bit mm-hmm. into the state waters. So we're like, let's pull that in. And then they have some future plans for DOC. So we were just trying to get all that together. So we're just working through some details, and that should be moving forward
okay.
soon here.
So how do tidelands leases kind of figure into this land use study?
Yeah, I mean, I think just like land, you know, those are parcels that are able to be used, and so that would certainly just come up into the discussion as we're talking about anything else, you know. And I think for tidelands, I think you're much more dealing with, you know, right now there's just two zoning districts, and obviously this land use planning isn't a zoning discussion, but there's subsistence use, and then there's really more industrial use. And then maybe there's some in between, you know. So, I mean, I think that that conversation would just go hand in hand with everything else that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. It's an interesting distinction. It makes me think of, I'm wondering if there are environmental concerns that you expect will come up in this discussion.
It may very well be. I mean, I know that there are certain areas that, and it kind of came up when we were talking to rezone some tide lands a few years back along Captain's Bay, you know, that there are some areas towards the base of Captain's Bay that, you know, you really just wouldn't want to get closer to. And I don't know the details of that, but that certainly is, that's exactly why we have the community mm-hmm. all involved in those discussions, because no one of us knows everything, you know, so we got to pull those resources together and figure it out.
Yeah. So, well, we mentioned the man camps earlier, and, you know, OSI is an example of sort of short-term oil development that we might see in town. The longer-term example being Shell, who have said they're not coming back this summer, but, you know, had they been planning to come back and kind of use Unalaska as a staging area for Arctic development, that was something the city was planning to have make a big impact, and I think that's what this study is kind of looking at in part.
Yeah.
So now that Shell isn't coming back, it gives you a little more time, but I'm curious how those sort of really long-term expectations figure in to this planning process.
Well, I think, yeah, I mean, when you have this planning process, you need to kind of consider all of those things in the future and how we can best address those and try to predict, or, you know, through lots of conversations, you know, what those needs are going to be, and then try to get ahead of it and say, okay, well, how can we fit that in? I mean, it's just a part of the conversation.
Mm-hmm. And when you're talking to people, how are you going to be phrasing these kinds of questions about what they want to see in their neighborhood? I mean, you say that this is sort of a way of getting ahead of it so that you don't have to have the more contentious conversations
yeah.
down the line. What sort of, like, how much say, I guess, does this give people in the changes that are coming?
Yeah. Well, it's not just going to be one person saying, you know, this is what I want to see there, and then that becomes, you know, adopted, mm-hmm. you know, that becomes part of the plan. I mean, it's a collaborative effort. There's lots of back and forth. No one person is going to get their way. But it together, it's a beautiful process. It's not the easiest process, but I think it's fantastic, and it's why I've dedicated my life to it. You know what I mean? So it's fantastic to get a whole group of, you know, diverse individuals with, you know, different needs and different ideas, and kind of slowly chip away at, okay, what can everybody kind of sort of buy into, you know, and you know, and agree to. And I think if you stick with the whole process, you realize that, you know, everybody at some point is getting their needs addressed, you know, and you might not get it 100%, but at least you understand why things are the way they are, which I think helps a lot, you know. Mm. So
yeah. So then by the time it comes back to a specific developer who wants to use a parcel a certain mm-hmm. way, people kind of know what's coming or know what
they'll
you know,
have at least have a heads up. Yeah.
I mean, prohibited, yeah.
In the land use planning discussion, which is what we'll be doing, it's separate from any zoning, you know. So, I mean, what might happen as a result of some of the land use planning discussions is when people come in for a conditional use permit or for a rezone to actually rezone a property, we would then look to that land use plan and say, okay, well, what was the feedback that we got from the public when we did this? And then we can kind of use that in making the staff's recommendation for one way or the other, or what special conditions to put on there to best address those desires that were documented in the land use plan. It gives a lot more guidance to staff, to the planning commission, to city council.
Interesting. Okay, so, well, let's talk about some of these shorter-term zoning changes that are coming up at our public hearing tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I know construction camps are the big one, but kind of take me through what we're talking about.
Yeah, so at this point, we are moving forward with some suggested changes to Title VIII, which is our zoning and subdivision regulations portion of code. So there's five main kind of conceptual areas that we're talking about. So construction camps is one. Plan units developments is another one, which we actually already have in our code, but we're kind of expanding it a little bit to kind of make it be used a little bit more, because I think it's a pretty cool opportunity. And then we're also addressing leased lots and subdivision requirements. Building separation, we're actually deleting a section because I think it's better addressed, you know, through the building permit stages. Mm-hmm. And then we're kind of extending the application deadline a little bit to give us more time to develop feedback within the staff, and then also to kind of work with the applicants mm-hmm. to get a better product out to the planning commission. Mm-hmm. So everybody's kind of a little bit, it's a little bit cleaner that way. And so I think that'll be a good thing.
So a longer deadline for zoning changes, or if someone had a rezone?
Yeah, if well, not rezoning, variances and conditional uses, instead of Oh, instead of putting the application in 15 days before, you have to get it in 22 days beforehand. Okay. So I think it gives more opportunity to work back and forth with the applicant to make sure everybody has a good understanding of what is actually being requested before you actually get to the planning commission. I think it'll be a good thing for everybody.
Mm-hmm. So tell me more about the construction camp, the potential changes there.
So right now, construction camps are defined in our Title VIII, but then they are not mentioned anywhere else. So it's not mentioned anywhere of where it's an approved use, where it's a permitted use, you know, or anything like that. So at this point, we're just kind of handling it on a case-by-case basis. Hmm. So I'd like a little bit more guidance on that. So at this point, we've been talking about these Title VIII changes since January. So there's been some changes based on what we're hearing from the public and what the Planning Commission is thinking. So at this point, what we're recommending is that the construction camp is permitted by right. So that means, you know, if you want to build a construction camp in these areas, then you just go and get your building permit and you're good. So it would be permitted by right in the industrial zoning district, so marine-related industrial and marine-dependent industrial.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then also be a conditional use in general commercial. So that would be still take to one reading at the Planning Commission to kind of look through to make sure it's the right spot. And, you know, if there's any special conditions, that should be added.
Mm-hmm. So you're really just adding this to city code where it hasn't been before.
Right.
This is an interesting sort of, you know, I'm sure we'll see a lot of changes like this in coming years as you have to kind of expand how we plan for new different kinds of developments.
Right.
So what kind of people, who would you like to see out at the public hearing tomorrow? What kind of feedback are you looking for?
Well, it really, honestly, anybody that's interested in any of this stuff, I think it would be valuable. The Planning Commission really wants to hear from people and hear what they have to say. I mean, they have a hard job. I mean, they're really making some really important recommendations. I mean, all these changes will go to City Council, who will then have to actually adopt it. But, I mean, the Planning Commission has really asked the Planning Department to really reach out to everybody. And we sent out the public notice, the mailings to everybody.
Yeah, that's a big one, definitely.
To try to hear from folks. And even if the thing about planning is that even if you don't think it really addresses, you know, it really impacts you, it does, because we're talking about things that are going to happen in your community. So, I mean, even if you don't own a piece of property, how property gets developed within your community still affects you. So, I mean, I think everybody needs to have that voice. And so come out.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It's not a big place. So even when we're talking about industrial zones versus where a person lives.
Right.
That's pretty close to your neighborhood.
You know, or you have to drive through it on the way to driving your kids to school. I mean, there's always, you get impacted on by it one way or the other.
Sure. Well, Erin, that's all the time we have for today. Sure. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
So Erin is the planning director for the City of Unalaska, and the Planning Commission's public hearing is tomorrow, Thursday, March 20th. That's at 7 p.m. at City Hall. And that's all for The Exchange. If you missed any part of today's program, we're online at kucb.org. The Exchange will be on air every first and third Wednesday of the month during the legislative session, so keep your eyes and ears open for our next episode coming up on April 2nd. We have production help today from Lauren Rosenthal and Lauren Adams. I'm Annie Ropeek. Coming up, the Midday Music Mix. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. Thanks for tuning in.